بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome once again to the second episode of Iftar for Soul Season 3. And the quest for seeking wisdom from the rhetorical questions in the Quran continues today, and I hope that this is not the first episode that you're tuning into, because episode zero always makes sense, because that's where the motivation and introduction is. So you get an idea where I'm coming from and why am I doing all of this, and why specifically rhetorical questions. So today's episode is a bit special because it handles one of the very philosophical questions that have troubled minds for a very long time, even today, people still struggle with the entire idea. And I guess what is important to know sometimes, that we humans, we do have varying intellects, we have diversified intellects. Just because someone is more intelligent than the other doesn't mean that it is an absolute. Perhaps that intelligence is better in a certain field and domain, but in other fields, maybe that person is more intelligent than the other one. So understanding this concept, it is also important to know that even if our intellect is varying and diverse, it also is limited. We cannot declare that we are the most intelligent people on the planet. Perhaps if you look at the species and whatnot, yes, we can get into that alley. But I think basically human intellect in a very primitive level is limited. And when it is limited, that also means there might be some things that we do not understand. And therefore, in seeking some answers, we need to ask ourselves one question, like, what is one basic thing that I need to figure out to accept certain ideas? So I may not understand, for example, if I watch a movie or if I'm reading a book, I may not understand the ending or the entire plot of the author or a poem of a poet, but I might say to myself, okay, if this one basic need is met during my study, during my reading, then I'm happy with that. So keeping that in mind, we also need to understand that if we are referring to a script that is written by the one from where the knowledge originates, we may not understand everything. We may not understand what is the absolute wisdom behind that. However, it leaves, I think, the blessing in all of this is that it leaves room for discussion. It provides a nurturing ground to have different opinions, to have different ideas, and have this diversity. And I think this is one of the most beautiful aspects of having varying intellects. So the ayah that I'm going to look at today is more or less on the same grounds, because as I mentioned earlier in my disclaimer, that I will only be picking up ayat that are a direct question from Allah Himself, but not part of any conversation. But this particular ayah, I wanted to take, and it is a part of a conversation, but it addresses a fundamental and a primitive question that many people struggle with. And even if the question sounds complicated, even if people have discussed for it long, for decades and centuries, does not mean that it has to have a complicated answer. It can have a simple answer. I'm coming from an engineering world, and honestly, sometimes big problems can have small answers. So it's of course a continuation of the Surah Al-Baqarah. It's the second Surah. The ayah is 30, and it's quite it's a bit long ayah. So I will just quickly go to the English part directly, and this is again the translation by Dr. Mustafa Khattab, it says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Remember when your Lord said to the angels, 'I'm going to place a successive human authority on earth.' They asked Allah, 'Will you place in it someone who will spread corruption there and shed blood while we glorify your praises and proclaim your holiness?' Allah responded, 'I know what you do not know.'" Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Now, this is one of the verses that the ayat for me that really got me close to Islam. because I think here a very basic, a simple question is asked: why do we exist? In a nutshell, right? Like why are we going to be created? And it's fascinating that here Allah, here the angels have basically said, why angels said this is again outside the scope of this podcast. But here the angel said that, why will you place someone who is spreading corruption and shed blood? So I think fasad in the Arabic word goes beyond, like, you know, it's just simply not corruption, but you know, you have injustice, you have topics of spreading mischief, spreading injustice, division, and then the word afterwards, you know, shedding blood. And we are here to glorify you. And then Allah responds to that, like, I know what you do not know. So even here, the exact main purpose is somehow restricted. It's not given. But what's interesting here is that, and you will see that in my next episode, because right after that, the answer is given. And in a very beautiful way, yet incomplete, but still enough for us to understand our existence on this planet, the purpose of that. So there are, for me personally, why I picked this ayah and why is it going to be in my book, because of exactly this. Like, why do we exist? There are two main wisdoms that I would like to talk about this in this episode, and then we'll call it a day. For me, the first wisdom is that, are we allowed to raise questions to authorities in Islam? Many a times I've heard from people that in their life as seekers of knowledge, they were shut down by authorities. They were shut down by parents, by people in the mosque, by the teachers at the school, when they wanted to ask simple questions like, why do women have to wear hijab, for example, or why men do not have the same hijab on them, or, you know, questions like this, why not alcohol, why not pork, things like that. And instantly they were shut down and they were not given the logic behind that. But perhaps our approach might be wrong, but still, to know, I hope you do not hear the doorbell, but there's a doorbell. As I said, I'm at home, so I do not have complete silence around me. And you should be happy not hearing kids right now in the background. Okay, so going back, so the questions, right? So how can we question authorities? And the thing is that if we now try to visualize that instant, that angels who are created by Allah, they understand His glory, they understand His majesty, and then they question Him. But they do not question out of arrogance, they question out of curiosity. And they know that they will listen to the response. So it is important for us also to know, why are we asking a question? Like, where the intention of question coming from? Am I just questioning to create more confusion? Am I questioning because genuinely I'm interested to know an answer? Am I ready to tell myself that, yes, what I am thinking may not be right, and what the responder is going to tell me the correct answer? So here, Allah did not shut the angels down by saying, like, do you have any idea who you're talking to? How dare you question me like that? He did not utilize any of these tactics that usually, in my experience, people in power do. It is okay to ask questions in Islam. And I think this is what basically the culture of Islam has always been in the past. If you look at the 12th or 13th century and so on, even at the time of the Sahaba, the companions, after the death of the Prophet, during the time of the Prophet, there was a healthy exchange of questions, and people got answers. There were also people who were trying to create division with these questions, or just to spread confusion. But questioning was allowed. And because, you know, if we cannot contemplate, if we cannot reflect and ponder upon the ayat, and we cannot do justice to the word of tafakkur and tadabbur in the Quran, which invites people to reflect, it invites you to question. So that's why it's for me, this is such a beautiful example that the ultimate authority does not use a tactic to use its position to quiet down an inquisitive mind. And I think this is something that we can learn from this ayah, that we as parents, we as teachers, we as a manager at a firm, we should be open to questions. We should be open to answer. Of course, in the first instant, we will never know why someone is asking a question. Maybe sometimes we do, but usually I cannot know at least that why someone asking a question. But with the passage of time, one can realize, okay, you know, like, you know, you have students in the class who just want to ask questions to waste time so that, you know, we do not finish a particular chapter. It has happened to me in the classroom. Perhaps you've experienced that as well. You have those backbenchers who love to distract and deviate from the topic at hand. So keeping all this aside, I think it is important that we give trust to a person. When we also may not get an answer that we thought we would get, then we should also be sure that we do not have any confirmation bias when we're asking a question. Because if you want to listen to an answer that confirms what you think, then you're not really sincere in your search of knowledge. We need to be ready to be told that we could be wrong in certain cases. The second wisdom that I really like here is that, you know, why do we exist and why are we here? What is the purpose of my life? And, you know, it's interesting because if you look at the other ayat in the Quran, if you look at, for example, ayah 56 in the surah 51, it says that I did not create jinn and humans except to worship me. But worship does not only mean that I'm going to simply sit and worship Allah and just basically, you know, pray to Allah the entire time. This is not my ultimate purpose. I need to make my intention in a way that it serves Allah. For example, when I'm at service to people, when I'm at service to someone, that is also a worship. When I give a smile to someone, it's a service. When I give an advice to someone, it's a service. When I'm kind to myself, it's a service to myself. It's interesting because you know, the question here arises that where do we derive our purpose? And people, for example, one of the institutes, Korn Ferry Institute, remarks that most world leaders will desire and express to serve. The purpose of any organization is to serve, but what exactly, right? Then we have the customer. Everywhere you look around you, we are creating value for someone to consume, to give service to someone. We are happy as an organization if our people that we are serving are happy. If they, of course, they're giving us money and whatnot, but at the end of the day, we all want to be served. I, as a human, I'm living in a society. I want to be served by my society, that I have electricity, I have clothing, I have the freedom to go to a supermarket and buy whatever I want. And these are services that I have. And that's why I think it is for me unnatural to find an entity or a center or basically any organization, religion, whatever you want to call that it does not serve that it is void of service. So that's why I think that the true purpose that Allah highlights. I mean, we will talk more about the purpose in the next episode. So basically tomorrow, because that's where we will get more into the purpose. But keeping in the keeping in mind this ayah 56 of surah 51, our existence is not complete without the others. Our self is not complete without the others. Of course, first we need to think of ourselves. Allah says in the Quran at one place that save yourself and others from the fire. So He points out first you, right? So when we travel in the plane, right? What is the first thing? Like, you need to put on the mask first, and then you put the mask on someone else, because if you do not help yourself, you cannot help others. So that's why it is important to know that we first identify ourselves, who we truly are, what our purpose is, what are we doing on this planet, in this life, and then using that to channel and to complete our existence. We are part of a bigger picture. We are part of a community. And that's why, even if I do not go out and help every single person out there, but I can at least do what I'm capable of doing. And that's why, concluding to this, I feel that even if people can constantly philosophically argue regarding the purpose of life, why are we here, how did we end up here, are we just a result of a simple reaction or a chance or an evolution that came up, or are we just here to fight and race once against one another, all of this we can argue constantly. But what I really like in this ayah that Allah simply breaks it down, that your purpose is to worship me. However, again, I'm saying that worship here does not mean that you sit in the mosque and that's it. You need to earn a livelihood. You need to feed yourself. You need to keep the body healthy. The body that you've been given, the soul that that is covered by this body also needs to be nourished, healthy eating, healthy diet and whatnot. And all of this we can use with the intention that we're doing it just for the sake of Allah, so that it also then frees us from ending up giving into the trends of fashion, the new trends in the society and whatnot. So I think keeping Allah in the center of our existence really helps us to lower down expectations that people have upon us, but understanding the expectations that come from the most just, from the most exalted, from the most merciful, and from the most knowledgeable. May Allah guide us and help us to understand who we really are and who we truly are, and know that even if we may not have all the answers, but let's find out at least one basic answer that we can find to move forward in life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.